May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We just heard the choir beautifully sing the words of Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom then shall I be afraid? One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." The words of Psalm 27 appointed for this Sunday point us back to the one who gives us strength and hope in the midst of all of life's challenges, in the midst of both life and death. They are words that I have called upon many times and words that I hope you are familiar with as well. They are words that give us strength and courage to not only be, but to move forward in our faith as well. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Epiphany, the season of the church year from January the 6th to Ash Wednesday, is the season of light. This is a period of time in which we pay particular attention to the imagery, the metaphor, and the theology that Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. And as Christians, we read back into the prophet Isaiah. We see the prophet's words of the prophetic proclamation of the one who is to come as light itself. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Not only words appointed for this Sunday, but words that we heard on Christmas Eve as well. My parents are the children of first and second generation immigrants from Germany, Switzerland, and Ireland. I grew up being told by my mother that I was 50% German, 25% Swiss, and 25% Irish. Now, if you are at least as old as me, you grew up knowing that too. The younger generations, it's sort of beginning to get lost. But we knew what we were growing up. My parents grew up in very poor households and worked themselves out of poverty into a comfortable, and then a very comfortable, middle class lifestyle. At age 14, my father sold day-old bread and pretzels on the streets of New York for a nickel. And during the first 7 years of my childhood, we lived in a four-story walk-up apartment in Ozone Park, Queens, a one-bedroom apartment for the four of us, several miles outside of New York City. We did not have a lot, but we certainly had enough. And it seemed like plenty to me. As a little boy, walking up those flights of stairs by myself was very scary because there was a dark place under each stairwell. And in that dark place, I was sure some monster where witch or bad man lurked, waiting to grab me. I was very afraid of those dark places and often had bad dreams about them. Ironically, in the 1960s, it was totally safe to play as a little boy on those streets. Those were not dark places. We could literally go outside and play in front of our apartment building. When we moved out to Long Island, you could leave your door unlocked. In fact, in the summer, without air conditioning in those days, you could leave just the screen door and go to work all day and never imagine that anybody would walk into your house and take anything. As children, you have had those dark places, places that perhaps you imagined as a child, somebody was in the closet in your bedroom or under your bed and going to get you when mom or dad left. And then as we grow older and we mature as adolescents and as adults, we continue to face dark moments. We have those dark places of which we are afraid and through which we learn to contend with in our lives. The appointed gospel story for today begins with the arrest of John the Baptist. He was a cousin of Jesus, and he was the forerunner for the ministry of Jesus. When John is arrested, this is a very dark moment for Jesus. So dark that we hear in today's story that he withdrew from Nazareth. He needed to get away to Galilee. And he made his home in Capernaum, which is by the sea. Ironically, it was John's arrest that both as theologians and as biblical scholars, we have come to know that this was actually the mark of Jesus's earthly ministry. His baptism was a sign of what was about to happen, and immediately following the arrest of John, when John was put in prison, was the moment that Jesus began to preach the kingdom of God. Now, Matthew writes that he withdrew to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. It was so important for this gospel writer to link the ministry of Jesus with what had gone on before and was recorded in Jewish scripture. Because Jesus is being and is proclaimed as the fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures. What's more is that now the people following Jesus have a light that has shined upon them. And they are asked by Jesus to repent, to literally turn their lives from whatever the darkness in their lives is, whether it is things of which they are anxious and afraid, or whether it is something of which they are ashamed and need to repent. Jesus says, turn to the light of God in me. And Jesus goes forth and begins to call the 12 apostles. He tells the apostles, as they were fishing for fish, that they will now fish for people. Their nets will be filled with a new kind of abundance, the abundance of souls for the kingdom of God. A challenge that you face and I face as a Christian is, how do we live our lives as if that light has shined on us as well? Because it has. What can you do to bring the light of Christ to the dark places of your personal life and the dark places of the lives of others in this community in our nation and in the world. But you have to begin with your own dark places. They may even be secret dark places. But if you let them go unchallenged, unrepented, you will not be able to effectively carry the light of Christ to others. It's the same understanding that Jesus gave us when he said, if you do not love yourself, you cannot give love effectively in my name to others. I do not think that it is coincidental that the gospel story flows from the image of light. From the image of light to the requirement of repentance, a turning from whatever it is that separates you from the love of God in Jesus Christ, and then to the call to each of us to be followers and bearers of that light. Jesus says to the disciples, I will make you fish for people. Most of us are not fishermen by trade. What Jesus says to us is wherever you find yourself, whatever profession, whatever retirement, whatever school, wherever you find yourself, in that profession, in that status, bring the light of Jesus Christ to those for whom you come in contact with. So imagine now walking up those apartment stairs with me. But this time we're not afraid, because those dark underneath places are fully illuminated with the light of Jesus Christ. So now as we continue up, we can instead have a conversation about how we can bring that light to others. And instead of bad dreams, we have this as our dream. Amen.